Hi there, Power Rangers. Sean Orange here with a message before the podcast begins. Fear not, we are going to talk about Mega Man this week, but I just wanted to make a slight correction. At the top of the show here, we start talking about Zelda 2, more specifically the Japanese version. Quite a bit of our discussion later in the show revolves around a facet I discover while playing, that when you die, your levels all revert back to level 1. While true, what's really happening is that all of your levels revert to the lowest of the three. In this case, my magic level was level 1 because it was very early in the game and I never upgraded it. So everything we'd say is true, and indeed as frustrating as it seems if you never manage to level up one of your powers. However, if you're aware of this mechanic, you can save yourself a lot of grief, as I later found out, and now we are imparting to you. So without further ado, let's start the show. So Vink, ever since our episode about lives and the place of dying in video games, I've been interested in some of the 8-bit Zelda games.
Why is that?
Well, okay, it's not entirely my doing, but it was you know Phil Bond, right?
Yeah, I'm familiar with.
Well, he started playing a bunch of those games on his own, which prompted me to pull out the Japanese versions, and I found out something pretty shocking. Actually,
do tell.
Well, you know when you die, like you have to go to continue where you like the continue screen or the save screen or whatever. Start back at the castle, right?
Yeah,
like always, but all your levels are gone. Like weapons, life, and magic are all back to one.
Well, let's back it up. I think people need a little more context on how the leveling system works in Zelda 2.
Oh, hey, it's Caleb, a.k.a. Phil Bond. How's it going?
What a coincidence. I mean, we were just talking about you.
Hey, guys.
That's so strange. What have you been doing? When's the next Tataka song coming out?
I'm going to kill you.
So
anyway, Zelda.
Yeah.
Well, the way that Americans, or I'm guessing at least most English speakers, are familiar with the leveling system in Zelda 2, it's that in contrast to all of the other Zelda games, you have three stats: life, magic, and attack.
Yeah.
And they can all level up to a maximum of 8. And, like, for example, your attack damage with a level 1 sword is paltry, and it takes a ridiculous number of hits to kill even a lot of the basic enemies.
And well, didn't all of the Zeldas have that to certain extent, though? I mean, getting heart containers and stuff.
They have that theme where the game seems a lot harder earlier on, and one of Miyamoto's stated intents with the original Zelda was that toward the end of the game, you would look at certain things and say that now that I have all of this experience, the world isn't so scary anymore, like a life lesson about growing up. But the way that Zelda 2 implemented it was very different because, well, it's not so much that you accumulate items and then you use them. This is sort of a tangent, but all of the items that you accumulate in Zelda 2 don't have to be equipped. They just work when you come into the right circumstances. Mm. But anyway, we're talking about
how the English
and Japanese versions are different. In the English version of the game, every time you level up a stat, your accumulated experience points zero out, waiting for you to hit the next threshold.
Yeah.
And if you get game over, you lose all of your experience points toward the next level, but you keep your accumulated levels.
Are you saying in the Japanese version, why don't you just say it?
Yeah, you lose it all. All of it.
I
was surprised by this, but then it made sense when I realized, because the first thing I thought when I was going through was how like the thresholds were a lot lower. It goes to 50, then it goes to 100, 100 again, 300, 300 again, and I think at 500, or maybe just go to 700 at that point. Well, the progression is a lot quicker, and you're able to choose which thing to level up at any point. So, like, whereas in the US version, you can go and it'll give you a point value that's like a minimum requirement of your experience to level up the next thing. You can like literally just like level up your attack 8 times in a row if you want to, like a 7 times because you can max out at 8, right?
Right. I'm assuming it's the same in the Japanese version.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't actually maxed out anything to know for sure. So,
but still, but I mean, death is bad.
Right.
Yeah, and it happens constantly because there are no health pickups throughout the game. There are no hearts dropped by enemies. Well, okay, there are fairies here and there, but it's not this rain of health restoration happening all the time. The primary way to restore your health in the middle of action is to have found the life spell and have enough magic to cast it. And refilling your magic is also difficult to do.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, say the life spell. When you die, you retain that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you keep all of your spells.
Okay. That's just you start back at level one
through the game. I mentioned that you accumulate all of these items that simply like modify the way things work. Like, if you have the candle, then whenever you go in a cave, you'll be able to see, and you don't have to do anything. That just becomes the way it is. You can now see in caves. But as you accumulate spells, you get a list of, I think there are 8 of them, and they all do very important things that you constantly need, like jump or shield.
Or spell.
So which do you think is better? what works better as a game, do you think? I mean, there must be some reason Nintendo decided to change it.
Between the Japanese and the English versions?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both incredibly harsh. And I'm sure they knew that they had a really mean game on their hands when they had the Japanese product, and they knew that they had to change something, but they ended up with something that was still very harsh in its own way. Yeah. Less harsh, I guess, but
yeah,
still the meanest Zelda game ever made.
It still requires a lot of level grinding in Death Mountain. At least that's the way I would do it when I wanted to get to the higher levels, because it was like 9,000 points, was it? I'm trying to remember, like that screenshot that you put on Facebook.
By the time you've maxed out all three of your stat aspects, the next scheduled XP threshold is 9,000, and all that gets you is an extra life.
Wow. Games were harsh in the 80s. I mean...
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And here's another particular thing about extra lives. There are extra life pickups throughout the game. There's like less than 10 of them total, and once you've collected one, after you continue, it's gone. You can't get them again.
Right.
So after you've picked up all of the extra life pickups throughout the game and you get game over, that's it. From then on, you will just have 3 lives every time you start.
Maybe Miyamoto thought he like wouldn't be as cool if like everybody could beat the game, but like if there was a very exclusive club with like him and his buds. Before he mellowed out and started gardening.
Well, the I've Beaten Zelda 2 club, I've noticed, is somewhat proud and exclusive.
I don't think not many new members are being, you know, I mean, like people who had it when they were kids, you know, are still have the desire to complete it. But I think a lot of new gamers are just going to be like, nah, pass.
Well, I had never finished it before. It was the last of all of the Zelda games for me to finish because I had just always been so intimidated by it.
I got to say, I still haven't finished it.
Have you finished all the other ones, though?
I mean, no, I think it's I think it's the only classic Zelda I haven't beat. You know,
well, that's so easy definition.
Classic being like 2D prior to Ocarina of Time, or
I was thinking prior to like current gen.
Oh well, then everything becomes classic eventually, I guess.
Well, I don't know, a cartridge based format.
Like 16.
sure,
but I would make it as far as that. Like flying horse boss thing.
Right.
No, the first dungeon master boss is a man-shaped thing with a horse head.
Right.
It's very tall.
This much I recall.
And there are no flying horse heads. There are a lot of flying heads.
It's been a many, many years since I've played this.
My least favorite was the giant wizard robe. That was a bitch.
Are you kidding? He's the easiest.
Really? Did you like use Reflect on that guy? I don't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah, I thought that was the only way to beat him. You cast Reflect, then you crouch in a corner, and he kills himself in like 10 seconds.
Never mind.
But in my defense, I watched someone beat this game.
Right. Yeah, I never legitimately beat him
myself.
So
that's like playing it. I cheered him on the whole time, too.
I watched the Zelda Dungeons YouTube walkthrough all the way through before I sat down at this.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's cheating.
How is that cheating? I still played it.
Do you know why? Because back in the day, I had to call the Nintendo hotline to figure out how to even navigate the last castle.
I had a subscription to Nintendo Power, and it had all the maps laid out. You know, that's even more cheating than a YouTube video, because with a YouTube video, you still got to like think about the perspective.
Well, right. I would argue that's not really cheating so much, because you're supposed to make a map at the very least. The original Zelda game had a gorgeous map packed in it. Are you familiar with this thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of the overworld. So when a modern gamer sits down to just try and play these old games cold, the way they're able to play most games now without even looking at the manual, the game just walks you through it and little text prompts come up to tell you every single technique. That's kind of being hard on the old games because they weren't meant to be digested that way.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true.
And as I said, like magazines like Nintendo Power like told everyone, you know, that in the original Zelda you needed to summon the tornado with the whistle, you know. Because it's not an obvious conclusion that you'd come to, you know.
Well, I did just play that game too, and you don't need to warp at all. It's totally optional.
Really? Man, I remember so little about this now.
But if you're weak sauce like me, it's totally required.
the one thing that the whistle is really required for is there's one boss where you have to play that and then it shrinks down to the point where its weak spot is vulnerable.
Oh, man.
Dig Dogger is its name.
Ah, right. Okay, sure. Yeah.
Dig Dogger dislikes certain sounds. Says a man in a room.
Games were just really, really hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Back in the day.
I can't think of anything more punishing than like the tease of, at least in the Japanese version, the tease of having, you know, like the ability to progress, but then just having to climb your way back up every time you fail. Just,
I guess, but I mean, it makes it more so than that it's like an epic game, but like I've died a lot more in a lot of other games. I think there's one franchise that has caused more of my virtual lives to be spared. No game has quite as high of a body count. Do you know what franchise I'm talking about here?
No.
No?
No.
No.
In Japan, it's called Rockman.
Oh, yes. And in America, it is called Mega Man.
Which is the cooler name?
I'm not really sure because in Japan, the Rockman thing is like a whole joke about like rock and roll. So everything's named like bass and forte and things like that.
Yeah, and there's a character named Roll, right?
Yeah, yep.
Is that Mega Man's sister?
Yep. So it's no. Yeah, something like, I don't know. It's rock and roll, yeah, but...
That's hilarious. Yeah, I didn't really get that joke until I even learned that there was a rock man.
Well, it's like a lot of things. Like when they introduced the bad guys for the Mario series, I mean, other than the classic Koopa, but like Waluigi and Wario. I mean, that's funny in Japanese because Wadui means bad.
Oh, God, I never even thought about that.
Waluigi, Wario, it means like bad Mario, bad Luigi.
That's great.
But like translated when from an English perspective, it's like Waluigi is like, that sounds like the laziest name ever. Because maybe Wario is funny because it's kind of the M is flipped upside down. That's what I thought. But I'm like, Waluigi, they just put it in to make it. They just put it in for like, you know, because they needed an alternate dark character. But then when I started studying Japanese, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's actually really clever.
Oh, wow. You just answered like a years old question I've had. That's amazing. This is why we listen to Famicom. I mean, make Famicom Dojo.
I'm glad you're learning something.
Oh, good grief.
I have confirmation here from Wikipedia, by the way. Roll,
yep.
Mega Man's little sister.
Well, there we go.
Oh, man. Robot. It must be true if it's on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And it lets us know things that if we ever have a question regarding little sisters, Phil Bond is the guy to come to.
I actually found her in a list of famous little sisters.
We will.
That's the route I took.
Okay. Well, yeah, yeah. You got to get there somehow. We'll come back to you when we do a BioShock podcast.
Oh man, that's another game on my pile of shame, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Not so good. Isn't like a third one coming out already?
Yeah. I haven't played the second yet.
I hear it's not the greatest.
But I kind of want to get it because the guy on the cover looks like some strange steampunk bomber man.
Yeah.
No, look it up right now. Everybody looking at home, look it up on Wikipedia. Look at the cover art. You'll never be able to unsee it.
What? That's going to take too long. So do we have anything to plug this week? Any awesomeness?
Well. As I've said, the Mega Man series is fairly punishing, but yeah. I found a group of masochists on Facebook.
Oh, excellent.
Who love the punishment of the Mega Man series and for some reason want to actually have this series continue in some form. I mean, they obviously haven't taken enough punishment from its first million chapters, and they're in particular want the release of a game called Mega Man Legends 3.
Why did something happen to it?
Yeah. Well, a lot of things happened to it. First of all, the first two Mega Man Legends games were PlayStation games. So that tells you that they aren't super recent.
Right.
And then
PlayStation 1.
Yes, PlayStation 1. And the fan community really wanted this Mega Man Legends game. It was whenever I saw a list of people proposing like what series would you like to see continued? It's always like Shenmue and things like that.
But, right.
But then one of them that always
Half-Life
came
3.
Was
yeah.
Half-Life Episode 3. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't think that's ever going to come out. But anyway, this is one that always made the list, and I hadn't played the Mega Man Legend games because I was a Nintendo guy at the time. I got my PlayStation like. Well, I mean, I started playing PlayStation games when I got my PlayStation 2, really. But apparently these are quite good ones in the series.
Okay.
And so they had proposed a Mega Man Legends 3. And it was going to be for the Nintendo 3DS. I think it was originally a DS title. I could be very wrong on
this.
Right. Actually, Mega Man Legends, maybe. Oh my gosh, I have played it. Sorry, I'm dumb. It came out as Mega Man 64.
Right. Yeah, that's I passed on it because I had heard how much they had to change it from the original PlayStation version, and so I never picked it up, thinking I would eventually at some point get a PlayStation or a PS2 or something, and then go back and play these games. And I did get a PS2 eventually, but never did the latter.
I remember seeing it and I was like, 3D Mega Man, but kind of regret it now.
So what happened to this game then? This Mega Man Legends 3.
So anyway, they were going to be releasing a Mega Man Legends 3.
It says here and... 3DS eShop, so a downloadable.
Really?
Yeah. Really? I thought it was full.
Well, it could still be a full game as a downloadable.
Interesting.
I don't know. Is this the Nintendo? Are we talking about the same Nintendo here?
It's a brave new world.
I guess. But anyway, it was being made by the original producer of Mega Man, which is kind of rare. Because a lot of them were kind of shopped out, you know? So they were going to bring this out again. And I just figured out that the prologue type, the... would be downloadable from the eShop, but it was originally intended to be a main game.
Okay, actual now, little cartridge and everything.
And they had pictures up, and they showed like what some of the characters would be, some of the boss stuff. It was so like detailed information came out at the New York Comic Con, and in July of this year, Capcom announced that the game was canceled. Now it had a pretty shaky journey. Because Inafune, who worked for Capcom, who was, the Mega Man guy.
Right.
was originally, you know, really pushing this project, you know, getting this out. But he left Capcom in November of last year.
Oh, wow.
But, like, the team making it said that they would continue, but a lot of the fans were like, is it still going to be good, you know?
Right.
Except for the people who didn't like Inafune's stuff, and they thought, oh, it's going to be better now. But
who are these people?
I don't know. But anyway.
Wasn't there a crowdsourced aspect to the development of Legends 3?
There was. They had asked they'd had a submission thing for making, I think it was either one of the supporting characters or one of the bosses, sorry. But what was funny was the actual designer for the game submitted a design and it lost. like by a lot. Like it was one of the it didn't even make like the top three, I don't think. So
didn't like Groucho Marx come in third at a Groucho Marx lookalike contest once?
Something
yeah,
like
yeah.
That. I know that there was a long time ago at a Doctor Who convention, there was a canine impersonation contest to do the voice, and the actual voice of K-9 came in, and he didn't even get like close.
Yeah, people don't actually know what William Shatner sounds like anymore. They just know what a William Shatner impression sounds like.
I know. I mean, yeah. If you heard him now, you'd be like, not Shatner enough.
Yeah, yep. He's a little more Shat all over the walls. No.
Anyway. I'm gonna actually read directly from a Wikipedia page right now
we resorted to this.
It says, as of July 19th, 2011, an ambitious Facebook group by the name of 100,000 Strong for Bringing Back Mega Man Legends 3 is trying to get the project started back up. The Facebook is currently at 42,000 and still rising.
Wow.
Okay. We try to make it not to quote Wikipedia, but like, I think this is one of the very few times when one of these grassroots campaigns has been added to Wiki and not taken off right away, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because, you know, there's lots of people trying to bring back lots of games. I'm currently subscribed to the Operation Rainfall, of course.
Well, the difference there being, you know, there's actually a game out there that they just don't want to release. Yeah,
and then there's the localized Valkyria Chronicles 3, project, which if you liked the first two, or even just the first one, because I hear 3 is better than 2, get on that because it's one of my favorite series. I mean, it's made by the same team that made Soccer Wars, so obviously I'm a big fan. But it was my reason for buying a PlayStation 3.
Oh wow!
But the 2 and 3 didn't come out for PlayStation 3; they came out for PSP.
Oh.
But still, PSP is kind of not doing so well in America. I think we can agree on that.
Yes.
So Sega decided not to localize the third game.
Interesting.
The series never did. I mean, it never sold gangbusters, but you know it had high reviews and stuff. But anyway, so. But there's tons of groups like that. The longest and oldest one would probably be the Earthbound people. Oh, I don't mean to make that sound derogatory by calling them the Earthbound people.
You know, those guys.
Stuck
but I mean,
on the earth,
that one.
Bound
I mean,
there.
They are hardcore grassroots movement. You know, that's been going on for like, oh my gosh, since. Before Mother 3 was even announced, I think they were trying to get like the first game retroactively released or something. I don't know. It's a really strong community, really good guys. They made this book that they sent to Nintendo, like of fan art and stuff. Like they got it actually professionally printed and bound, and you know, as like, this is how committed we are that we would spend more money than this game possibly costs to make a book trying to convince you to make this game, you know?
See, I don't understand why they care so much at this point, because
have
hasn't it already been local?
Earthbound?
Okay, I haven't. But hasn't it already been localized by fans? Can't anyone play it in an emulated form now?
Anybody can steal it, I suppose.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
Okay, there's many more people playing the localized version than actual cartridges were ever produced. So, I mean...
Oh, goodness. Well, I mean, you know, you say you steal, but you could play Mother 1, which I have, you know, in the original Famicom cartridge. But unless you know Japanese, there's no chance you're going to understand what's going on.
I think I'm going to finally bite the bullet and play through all of Mother 3 with the translation. I was holding off for hope that they would get an official game out. But, like, I have the Japanese version. I bought it and tried to play it in Japanese at first, but there's too many references and slang and things. It's incomprehensible to me.
Yeah,
But I bought it because I mean I want to support Brownie Brown, love that company. But I might finally. I think unless there's an announcement fairly soon, I think. I hate playing things on emulator though. I like original hardware. You know.
Yeah, I'm completely in agreement with you there.
Original hardware and Mother 1 is not going to really be possible, though.
Well, yeah, but
now
is
the time of the
downloadable stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. WiiWare titles.
There are all sorts of games that were originally Japanese exclusives that now an American can download and play, and they'll still be littered with Japanese text here and there, but Nintendo of America has just decided that's okay.
And I'm thinking of a title that started out its life as a Game Boy Advance title that's done fairly well on the DS, little Gakuten Saibon or Phoenix Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Those were all Game Boy Advance titles, and the first few were ported with the first one got like an additional chapter that used the DS hardware, but like 2 and 3, they were just straight ports from the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, because didn't they have the English versions built into the Japanese ones or something?
Not the Game Boy ones, but the Japanese DS games had the English built into them. The Japanese DS ports for 1, 2, and 3 had the English built into them. So I played it a good half a year, maybe longer, before they came out in America. And I was really happy about that. It's rare that someone throws a bone to like English speakers living in Japan.
So to summarize here, there's this new Mega Man series, newer Mega Man series called Mega Man Legends. There's a third game that just got canceled, and there's a group that wants people to finish it. Can I make a confession here?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've never played a non-Nintendo Mega Man.
Really? Not even serious canon Mega Man 8.
Yeah. Well, can I tell you why?
Okay, tell me why.
When this happened, when Mega Man 8 came out, I was still a hardcore Nintendo fanboy. I knew people who had PlayStations. I go to my friend Dustin's house to watch him play Final Fantasy VII on and off. But I was really rooting for the N64 at the time, and you know, hearing Mega 64 come out, hearing that it was a port of a PlayStation game, and hearing that it wasn't as good of a translation as the source material was just this huge turnoff, and that was pretty much it for me. Now I've gotten a PlayStation 2 since, like I mentioned before, but just haven't gone back and played any of these games. So my Mega Man experience stops with Mega Man 7 on Super Nintendo and Mega Man X3 also on Super Nintendo. But both of those games have gone on since then.
Okay, question.
I think you made all the right choices.
Hey! This is our Mega Man podcast. Anyway. Question though.
Yeah.
But what about portable Mega Mans? Those were all on Nintendo systems. The EXE series.
I didn't really like the style of the EXE series. It's how do I even describe it? It's not like a tactics game exactly, right? It's the Tenchi Muyo game, it wasn't the same pure action style like the others. Yeah, I want Mega Man. I want like jumping, and shooting, and like platforming or something.
Okay.
You know,
okay, I'll grant you portables. Yeah. I'll grant you portables. What about the Mega Man collection for GameCube? That's still Nintendo system there.
There
was your chance.
I wanted so bad to buy that. Do you know how badly I wanted to buy that? Because then I was like, you know, yeah, GameCube, woo, let's go. because, you know, finally, Mega Man had come back to Nintendo where it had started, and I was like, yes, let's do it. So I was going to buy it. I was going to buy it, and Phil can attest to this. Should I call you Phil or Caleb? I don't even know.
Who knows? On the internet, it gets really nebulous.
He can attest to this because he was there when this all went down. But I was totally going to buy the GameCube version, and then we found out that for some damn reason, the buttons got reversed. So A was jump and B was shoot.
Well, couldn't you download
the GameCube emulation of Metroid found on Metroid Prime?
I think I had that backwards. A was shoot and B was jump, right? Yeah, that's backwards.
Well, surely you can configure those.
No, you can't.
Well, Capcom wants to fix that. They uploaded a patch. You could. Nintendo. Oh, Nintendo.
So okay,
that's not fair, because other than the Xbox, I mean, PlayStation 2, you couldn't load patches either. It was a generation before game developers had to, like, actually test their games before they released them.
It wasn't a mistake. It's not like they didn't mean to do it. They meant to do it. Their excuse was is that nice A button in the middle of that, you know, field of buttons was your action button. And the action, in this case, apparently was shooting. Making that decision
was that they wanted the control scheme to be exactly like Metroid Prime.
Wait, what? Who said that?
Caleb did.
Oh.
Wait, who's Caleb?
Phil, sorry.
He's some guy. Phil, I talked to. Nice.
I'm Phil.
Now. No, but that was a deal breaker, cuz I could get it for the PS2. And have a correct button layout, or I could get it for the GameCube and fulfill this, you know, fanboyish desire to have this wonderful collection on a system and for a company that originated it, and just I just didn't do it.
Or you could get it on Sega Saturn like this guy did.
Again, defeating the purpose. But, you know, at least the good news is you can get Mega Man's 1 through 5 on the Wii Virtual Console right now. So if that's really what I want to do, I can spend like $5 a pop on them.
1 through 5. No, 7's not available yet?
7's Super Nintendo. I'm not sure if it's on there yet. 6 isn't there for some reason that I can't
find. I know that one more is.
Which one's
but not
that?
Not in the Virtual Console.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry, two more.
Which are?
9 and 10.
9 and 10. Brand new games that were released on Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, right? And the WiiWare.
Yep. And this is one where you can't go, oh man, the Wii version sucks compared to the others. No, same.
It's the same, except for if you have a Wii like mine, there's a problem with the graphics processor and there's artifacting all over the screen. So there's that.
Gosh, suck the life
just,
out of a room.
Just can't win. but I mean, you know, this
can't
this,
be happy.
This talk
that was a bad batch of Wii's that came out that day at Target.
I know, right? Yeah. If anyone's watched bringing it back to Famicom Dojo here, if anyone's watched the Wii Day launch special that was like retroactively made into a Famicom Dojo special, you will see Phil and me there waiting overnight to pick up those Wii's. I still have the one that I got there.
So do I.
Oh, really?
And both of our Wiis are full of bugs.
I thought that you had yours replaced. Maybe I was wrong.
No, I intended to, but I couldn't do without it because Metroid Prime 3 was about to come out. Well, and now I think I'm outside of warranty, and I still have a Wii that will hang for 5 minutes in black while trying to boot random channels.
It's been 5 years, so...
Yep.
I think...
But my recommendation to me, and more so to you, is that we should contact Nintendo Service and pay whatever premium they ask us for them to fix our Wiis.
Well, here's the problem, right? And the reason I didn't do it back when I had the chance, and I was still in warranty, and back when I cared about this sort of thing, was because when all your stuff gets transferred over to the new console, because your Miis are attached to your system ID, they are no longer editable.
Just transfer your Miis to your controllers.
It doesn't matter because they're on a foreign system now. They can't be edited by anything but the original system that created them.
Well, here's where I look out in this scenario.
You edit your Miis
frequently? I don't care about my Miis anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. At this point, I don't care about them anymore. If I had just not cared then.
Yep.
Wait. So you didn't get your system fixed because you would lose your Miis.
You would lose the ability to edit his Miis.
That's right.
So you wouldn't even lose the Miis. You just lose, like, if one of your friends who you made in Mii format decided to grow a mustache, you wouldn't be able to accurately reflect that in the Mii. And the 10 minutes it would take to recreate them was too much work.
Well, if you recreate them...
I know, yes.
you're talking about facial hair. That's the precise sort of thing that I did. But see, you know, it's not just the Miis. It's that those Miis are tied to your save profiles, too. So you lose all of that as well if you switch to new Miis.
I guess I just really didn't play a lot of games that were very Mii-dependent.
Yeah, there were three or four first party games where your save was tied to a Mii, and in that case, you probably would want to try and do that trick where you have them ride along on a Wiimote.
Yeah,
but well, honestly, I've lost half of my GameCube saves. This is sounding like a really petty problem by comparison.
Oh yeah, and this is thanks to the Wii as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the other reason I'm angry with my Wii. It corrupted both of the GameCube memory cards I had inserted in it.
All right. Well, Nintendo's fixed that problem with the new Wiis by eliminating any GameCube compatibility.
They never acknowledged that problem, but oh.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. So, Mega Man.
All right. Getting back to Mega Man.
Well,
So you played 1 through 7, though, Sean.
Well, I played some of 7. It didn't really set my posterior on fire like the other games did. My go-to Mega Man game back in the day was Mega Man 2 because it was hard. I mean, I was able to beat Mega Man 3, you know, so it was...
Mega Man 3 is my favorite Mega Man game because it was easy.
yeah, exactly. It was the first one I could actually beat, and therefore I loved it. But I loved Mega Man 2 because trying to beat that was a challenge in and of itself. And I just, for a very long time, I could just never, ever do it because we sort of touched upon it back in episode 13. But when you get to that Wily Castle... There's no going back. Like, you can't get more lives and stock up. You can't continue from some point midway there. You have to start all the way over. So,
I can't remember. Did Mega Man 2 have energy tanks?
Oh yeah. Well,
okay,
I mean,
that's good.
Yeah, I think it did. But I don't remember either. Come to think of it.
Was it a password save on that one? Sorry,
yeah.
I get them confused.
Yeah, no, they're all password saves on the NES.
And the passwords save, you could if you knew which one to put, you could always get 9 energy tanks.
Yeah. But I mean, still, the problem was that you know if you had to start at the beginning of the castle, and it's a long level. I mean, there are really hard enemies in there, and then you get to the end. Was this one of the ones where you had to fight the bosses all over again? I think it might have.
There was a boss rush in too.
I just know that, like, fighting Wily at the end was weird because you had to fight him like 2 or 3 times, and one of the times he turned into an alien for some strange reason I can't remember. Like, it wasn't really him or something, and then you fought the real him. I'm not exactly clear, but it was
he like,
hard.
One of them, he was
beat.
A robot, and then you had to fight the actual one who wasn't a robot.
Dear God. So, I mean, Mega Man 3, much, much easier. But so I can't think of many games where I would persevere so much to beat it and then love it for its difficulty. Certainly not the Japanese version of Zelda 2.
Well, I actually had kind of a threshold moment with Zelda 2. Where I was miserable all the way until I beat it, and then the ending was just so pleasurable. I was just glorying.
I know what you mean. Like,
I actually really like this game now.
the first Mega Man game. The first Mega Man game. I mean, I was young when I bought it. And, like, you know, you can beat, like, Gutsman stage, like, really easy. But, like, Gutsman stage, the timing of those jumps... Like, in a Mega Man game, usually it's somewhat forgiving. You can get shot by a number of enemies, but you have that whole life bar, you know what I mean?
Right.
But you fall in a hole, you're done.
Yeah. Yep.
I think that's the first time I beat Mega Man 3 was super cheating. You know, if you hold one of the buttons down on the other controller, you cannot die by a pit.
Yep, it essentially kind of pauses the game, and you're able to jump out of it. And like everything, like all the action on the screen kind of pauses too until you let go, and then it continues as normal.
I thought it was like when you held the button down, like you could jump like infinitely tall and pits just didn't do anything.
No, it was, see, I've doing a little research for a future Famicom Dojo video. Yep. I was testing this out, and it's almost like kind of a debug mode.
Pretty much. If you want to think about it, and it's activated with the second controller.
Yeah.
It's almost, I remember, because I'd be playing the game or whatever, and like my brother would be there, like operating the cheats.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I've beaten this game without that cheat though. Come on, tell me you've done that.
Yes, I have. Okay. Yes, I have. Well, because once I knew how to beat the game from cheating, going through after that was a lot easier.
Oh well,
I beat it without cheating. But have you beat the first Mega Man?
Well, see, that's where I gotta confess to you. I have this weird problem, especially considering when I got my NES, that I mostly only played sequels to games. So my I don't want to say like Zelda 2 was my first Zelda game, but one I played the most. Simon's Quest was my first Castlevania game.
Me too. Actually, I didn't play the original Castlevania until I think the Super Nintendo era had started before the video store in my town got the first Castlevania game.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so
I played 2, 3, 1, yeah.
I think like the best example of this was like my first Star Wars movie was Empire. Does that make any sense?
No, that's terrible.
No, it's wonderful because...
You just crossed a line.
Hey, it's weird because my first Star Wars movie was the fourth one.
So,
I get that.
The fourth one chronologically or the fourth one?
It was called like A New Hope or something?
Yeah, I heard about that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I
the
guess
one.
I jumped into the middle too.
Yeah.
I know. It's weird.
Why can't we just watch it in order? I don't get it. No, so there are a lot of games I've only gone back to later, much older. And past the point where I would have played these games naturally because like a newer system's out or like, you know, I'm an adult or something. So I have not played a whole lot of Castlevania. I've not played a whole lot of the original Mega Man, mostly because it is freaking hard. I thought Mega Man 2 was hard. The original Mega Man is just unforgiving. It's like worse than Japanese Zelda 2 unforgiving. I cannot play that game.
I'm not sure which one is harder, but I will confess I've never beat Mega Man 2 because I didn't own it. My friend did, and he'd loan it to me, but he'd only loan it to me like over the weekend, and that was not enough time. You know.
I mean, at least in Mega Man, you get these password saves, right? And you can continue from where you were. But there are just some games.
The original Mega Man, when you died, you died. And that was lost it. All your...
So unforgiving. I mean, what were they thinking in the 80s?
I don't know. But, like, it was a fairly short game. I mean, like, Mega Man 3 is quite easy, but it's very long. Like, the levels are long.
Right.
And things like that. And the later Mega Mans, they got longer and longer. And the difficulty wasn't so much like if you can pass this screen, you're a hero. It was like if you can pass this set of screens. But like the original Mega Mans had condensed all their jumping puzzles and things right to like, you know, it was just unrelenting. The Guts Man stage still is like for Mega Man. God, I don't even know how many times I'd die there. Like, I wanted to play the earlier stages because I could beat the bosses and, you know, get the stuff. But I'd always play Guts Man first because it didn't matter what I did previously in Mega Man. I could spend an hour getting all the other bosses beat and then die on Guts Man stage. Again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of Silver Surfer for the NES?
No.
I have.
This was a phenomenon on Reddit briefly. Someone posted that his son wanted a new Xbox 360 that he felt he couldn't afford. And he said, well, son, if you can beat this game from when I was your age, then I'll get you an Xbox 360. And the child was presented with Silver Surfer, which is apparently one of the most difficult NES games with just ridiculous...
But like it wasn't because it was hard. It was bad game design.
That's, well, now we're getting into the question of, is it bad game design when you intend a game to be incredibly difficult?
But the thing is, that game was a movie license title. I don't think it was intended to be like a holy grail of difficult game.
It's
true
that
lazy programming.
It's true that bad movie games were certainly a phenomenon, but you have this whole class of gamer who absolutely loves a game to be ridiculously difficult, like the original Ninja Gaiden is another one I'm familiar with. Maybe that's not actually in the school that we're discussing.
Yeah, it's hard. But Ninja Gaiden was like, when you died in that, you didn't go, oh man, it's because of this horrible level design. It was because it was like, because I am weak sauce, that is why I died, you know.
Well, and that's all a matter of personal perspective,
I suppose. Like, I mean, I suppose if we're bringing up impossible games, we can't not bring up Battletoads.
Sure. It only had like four levels, right? But you just couldn't get past the third one.
When I was a kid, I was almost totally convinced that Rare hadn't finished the game, that they just made it so impossible that like eventually if someone could get past these stages, they'd release like the second part that the game would continue, because it didn't even make sense in my mind that anybody could get farther than I had gotten at that point.
Isn't that what Super Battletoads was?
The Game Boy Advance Bubble Bobble game that could not be completed because of a breaking glitch in like level 100.
Oh, good grief. I didn't know
about
that.
So they gave Silver Surfer to this kid. Okay. Did he beat it?
Oh, Lord, no. And it became a phenomenon on Reddit where everyone wanted to challenge themselves to this game, and a couple of people did post screenshots of actually completing the game and were
Game Genie. Game
entirely
Genie.
Satisfied.
Gotta be Game Genie.
Can you emulate a Game Genie?
Yeah, I think.
Well, I suppose it's
possible.
I have
no idea.
If it's ever existed, someone's found a way to emulate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People have emulated John Wayne for commercials, you know. but anyway. So
can I posit a theory?
That's child abuse, man.
Well, I've had similar theories. I wouldn't subject my child to an impossible game, but I do intend to put them through a gamut where they have to experience what came first before they're entitled to what's around today.
Oh, Lord.
I recommend that to all parents.
We'll see. Oh,
Sean's kid has to look out for that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. Yeah. So,
you want to watch the new Harry Potter movie? Well, you haven't even finished Citizen Kane.
There won't be any new Harry Potter movies by the time this kid's born. They're all out now.
I don't know. There'll be like a reboot of the series by then.
Could be. They're already rebooting Spider-Man, so.
I mean, they're already rebooting things that are like still in my short term memory. I hear they're rebooting Flight of the Navigator. Did anyone hear this?
That's not short term at all. That movie is 25 years old.
Yeah, but like,
it's so good. We're just old.
But like, yeah, I don't know. I imagine in my mind that movie is one of the best movies ever made. But I haven't watched it since I was 10.
It's good.
It holds up.
But I don't know if it's one of the best
ever. Sarah Jessica Parker comes in with a side-mounted scrunchie, and they talk about all the new versions of Pepsi.
What? What? What?
It's true.
This didn't happen. Yeah. This is... All right. Next week on the podcast, Flight of the Navigator. The bits Vink remembered, the bits he didn't.
Yep. So can I posit a theory about this Mega Man thing?
Go for it.
Okay. So people say they like the older ones and how hard they were and everything and the design. Games that basically haven't existed for a couple of console generations, right? So they released a Mega Man 9. They released a Mega Man 10. I got to be honest with you, I did not finish Mega Man 9, partly because it was hard. And granted, they had like this new store, and there's like saves you have now. And it's a lot that's different, so it's not really much excuse to not finish a game like this. But I didn't. And I'm getting the impression a lot of people didn't really take a shine to it like Capcom was expecting. So you end up with...
10 didn't do nearly as well, yeah.
Yeah, and 10 came so fast. Like, I didn't even have a chance to finish 9, I felt like.
Yeah.
You know, but so you have this Mega Man Legends game. When did Legends 2 even come out?
Legends 2?
Yeah.
Let's see. Gosh, it was, I mean, PlayStation era, so 2000? Yeah, 2000.
Okay. So they're making a sequel to a game that's like 10 years old. What incentive could Capcom possibly have to cater to the nostalgia fans anymore after 9 and 10?
I think it's because people are still demanding it. Plus, it's considered by, like, it was considered one of the high points of the series. It didn't sell, you know, the first two didn't actually sell all that well. I mean, compared to classic Mega Man games, but I mean, they were beloved games.
Right.
And that's the thing. That's where you got to be careful though, because sometimes it's best to leave something alone. I don't know. Like a lot, they've tried to revive a lot of series recently, you know what I mean?
Like Mortal Kombat series success.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat has been
Mortal
fantastic.
Kombat's a success story. Contra 4 not as much of a success story, but I think it did okay.
Bionic Commando.
The Bionic Commando, like retro one, like Rearmed or something, that did quite well. That did quite well. It was when they tried to make 3D hot dog arm game.
Right.
Another thing you can't unsee once it's been pointed out to you, that his arms seem to be made partially of hot dogs.
So I gotta admit that I'm not sure if I can throw my support as much behind a Mega Man Legends 3 campaign. Although I do understand like the having that sort of interactivity with the fans and the crowdsourcing that Caleb mentioned earlier would just be really disheartening. Yeah. It's like this grand experiment in video game design just didn't have a chance to prove itself. So in that respect, I am very sympathetic, but I don't think I'm going to play this game, to be honest.
I support this game. You know, this probably isn't the type of game that, since I haven't played the first two, that I would pick up, you know, at launch. But, like, the more I read about this, it was going to be a pretty good game. You know, like, a Mega Man game that I'd want to play. You know what I'm saying?
Can you tell us any more about what the crowdsourcing aspect was? You mentioned something about boss design and how the original designer contributed something that was rejected, but it seemed the project was dumped was that a lot of the fans felt that they had contributed a lot of effort that was not going to see the light of the light of day, and that seems to go beyond just submitting character designs.
Well, I think part of it was the fact that, like, that's all I found for actually things that were like crowdsourced. But I think what hurt a lot of people is that, as I said, this is a game that's been requested for years and years and years and years. You know, for 10 years, people have wanted this game. And they felt that it was their constant badgering of Capcom that originally got the game released in the first place. You know, they had invested years into convincing Capcom that it would be viable to release this title that Capcom had pretty much, you know, they'd abandoned the franchise.
Yeah, I feel like I have a similar stake in the Soul Calibur franchise right now, which was supposed to have been pronounced dead at number 4, but a fan campaign has brought them back for a 5.
Exactly. I mean, we can liken this to, like, the rabid Shenmue fans, which I would consider myself one, who are waiting desperately to get to find out how this story ends. But like, you know, it's now that Yu Suzuki's not even working at Sega anymore, and, you know, maybe it's best not to. But it would be like if one day, you know, Sega announced, you know what, we listened to you guys. One of the letters we got in from Timmy has convinced us. It's put us over the edge. We're gonna finish it up with one last like really big game on a new system just coming out. Let's say the Wii U, because we'll compare that to like the 3DS. You know, and that it's going to be out and it's going to be finished. Here's a whole bunch of details about it.
Yeah.
You know, release all this information about it, and then a year later go, and no.
Yeah, that's virtually unheard of in game development. Usually, once a game gets to the telling the public about it stage, there's no back.
Except this development was unique in that they were using the public to develop the game. And, I, you know, at least as far as canceling games that aren't you know, doing so well at certain phases does happen all the time. People just don't know about it. And in this case, people were let in much, much earlier than they would have been normally.
To show you that there really is kind of a pent-up demand, I mean, this Facebook page, as I said, is currently at like 42,000 people. Well, actually, let me find out their current number. But like, I mean, their goal is to get 100,000. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Look at how many Operation Rainfall has. And Operation Rainfall is games that are far more, I would say, viable.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they're already translated. They're already done. You know, if this Capcom campaign was successful, which I hope it is, I really hope it is, you know, it would still mean having to finish a game.
Right, right.
You know, it's a bigger stretch, as it were. If you know what I mean there.
Right.
Absolutely. They have to either resurrect or put together anew a team.
Yeah, to make
professionals.
A team. But yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know, how many people they've already gotten for this. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. How long has their petition been running to get that number?
Well, the game was canceled, didn't I say, in July?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, they're at almost 43,000 at time of this podcast.
Okay.
That's like four times what Operation Rainfall is, and that's for three games, and that's gotten a major, you know, advertising campaign. This is mostly just word of mouth. You know, I haven't really seen any like articles being written about this campaign.
If only we had a podcast where we could talk about this for an hour.
Indeed.
I'll tell you what, I'm convinced.
Awesome.
I'm okay. Going it was to go like it was, that petition right it was, this second.
It was canceled July 19th.
Wow.
So like a little over a month ago, and they've already got this many people.
So we should definitely put this in the show notes, encourage people to go to that on Facebook, like it.
They just got one more.
They just got one more. Was it you?
That was me.
No. Oh, okay. There we go.
Go to that page, like it. Start talking to some people who will probably know way more about the merits of this game and precisely what went down, when and how and why.
Yeah. We're fans of the retro games very much, and the thing is, the more I read about this one, this probably would have been the game that would have brought me back into playing series games. It sounds really, really cool. I don't know of anything else in the pipeline for Mega Man in general. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think that's just it. Now with Inafune gone, they might not ever make a Mega Man game again, and there's no reason to. Come on.
That would be throwing money away.
Come on.
A world without Mega Man is scarcely worth living in.
All right. I think we had the title of this podcast.
So anyway, the name of that site is 100,000 Strong for Bringing Back Mega Man Legends 3.
Make sure if you don't remember where all the stuff is, just go to our show notes, thefamicondojo.tv. We're also going to I'm sure we're going to like it for our Facebook page as well. And I also want to put up with his permission, of course, Phil's completion screens from the Zelda games he put up, including the Game & Watch games. Which
Well, one is Game & Watch. One is merely a game on a watch.
Oh. How'd you get that completion screen? Did you just like hold down part of the screen until it like lit up?
on the Game & Watch game, it holds still for quite a while after you beat it. And the Game Watch, I'm picking it up right now, is still on the completion screen about 2 weeks after I beat it. So it's not moving until I do something to it.
Until you take the battery out to replace it.
You're going to have a hard time using that as your alarm.
Actually, it goes off every night at midnight.
to remind you that you beat it.
Yep.
That's one of the game's features. Once you beat it, it will ring forever.
It's actually kind of harsh. You have to beat it to unlock the alarm.
That'll wake you up. Well, anyway.
Zelda.
Anyway, Phil Caleb Bond, we're very glad you joined us today. That was really good. And for all of our listeners out there, tell us what the hardest game you ever beat is, or the game that you've started 10 years ago and are still attempting to beat.
I'm trying to think of one myself, which is just out of like difficulty as opposed to sheer laziness, like Metroid Prime 2.
Barbie's horse adventure. I just can't get past that third horse. I don't know how the game plays.
Until next week, guys.
See ya.
Famicom Dojo.